sense. Yeah, what we're thinking about. And there's urgency, isn't there? There's real urgency. As Nikki was reflecting in those prayers, there's just urgency to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We all know, we'll all have people that we work with, live with, shop with, whatever we do with. We'll all know people in our own immediate circles who so need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And whatever our number might end up being on our electoral roll at Trinity, and it's glorious to have stories that about people who come here, there's something like, isn't it, 98, 99% of people out there right now in Cheltenham who have no connection with any worshipping community. So, you know, the days of leaving the 99 to go for the one are long gone, aren't they? We need to leave the one. Hello. Well, hello, one. Because we urgently need to get out for the 99, don't we? Yeah? Would you agree? If you do think that this is going to work, you know, everyone coming here, no, we don't, do we? We are the sent ones. We are the sent ones. If you love Jesus, if you know Jesus, and if you don't want to, just sit quietly and think. But otherwise, just turn to your neighbour and say, you are a sent one. And then turn to them and say, get off your bottom and go. I apologise to all those who find that. Well, but we do need to stir up a bit, don't we? We need to stir up a bit. Because, you know the evil one, the devil, that force, that who would want to stop people knowing the fullness of life, just as a really simple strategy in this nation and in this part of the world. In other parts of the world, the strategy is physical persecution, is attack of all kinds. And maybe some of you do know about that directly yourselves. But actually here, all that has to happen is we just have to feel too busy and too tired, yeah? And we also then have the delusion or the collusion that it's my job or fill in someone better than me, you know? We just have, that's all that has to happen. Why aren't we experiencing the same levels of physical persecution elsewhere in the world? Because the strategy, the lullaby strategy to just put us to sleep is really effective. So we need to hear the get up off your, because we are the sent ones. Now I wonder, you know, how far are we being sent? So here's my picture. What do you reckon is the longest that a takeaway has ever been sent? Again, turn to your neighbour or contemplate, how far do you think the longest takeaway has been sent according to the Guinness Book of Records? Probably is out of date. I've got it from 2008. What do you reckon? Okay, well, according to the Guinness Book of Records, the answer is 11,701 miles. It was sent from Christchurch, New Zealand to Manchester, and it was a curry. The order was placed at the Raj Mahal restaurant in Christchurch, New Zealand, and it was a vegetable biryani and a pilau rice. They didn't even ask for poppadoms. I mean, come on. Where's the onion bhaji? I mean, you know. How far are you being sent? The answer is probably for most of us. And again, by the way, this is something that, and I love our overseas mission partners. I absolutely do who those are called. But actually, this is another kind of thing that's a strategy against us fulfilling the commission, the mandate that we all have, is when you have kind of like official mission partners. That actually is a kind of a thing that makes us feel, great, that's where it's happening. But actually the reality is it's happening, or it's meant to be happening, right where we are. We're meant to be sent primarily, first, only so far as we are already going. Again, just turn to your neighbour. Where do you spend the majority of your time in the week? And again, by the way, if you process independently and you just want to just do it yourself, please do it. Where are the spaces you spend most of your time? If you looked at your hours in the week, where's number one? Call it out. Most, where do you spend most of your hours? Sorry? In bed, at home. So the first place you're sent to is your own household, isn't it? Who's responsible for your own house? Am I responsible for you and your household? Correct answer, no. Correct answer, Jesus. But closely followed by you. Where's another space that you spend quite a lot of time?
Work.
Okay, Andrew Bly's one and only sermon remembering thing is there is no such thing as a work-life balance. There's no such thing as a work-life balance. That is a tool used to spoil your lives. There is only life. There is only a life balance. If you set work up against life, and then, by the way, people often put pot church as well, you then have this church versus work versus life. That doesn't help anybody. All right? Another thing we need to shoot is busy. Don't we have to shoot busy? You know, try saying to somebody when they say to you, you must be busy. In a lovely way, people say it to me all the time. It's not true. I'm not. Actually, sometimes my diary is fuller of things, but I should take responsibility for all of my diary, shouldn't I? And so when someone looks you in the eye and says, are you busy? Just say no. I mean, lie. No. I mean, wouldn't it be great if we actually had a world where, you know, we're saying, no, I'm not busy at all. And people said, that's really good. I'm so pleased to hear. As opposed to the world that we collude in, I do as well. You know, being busy makes you feel valued, doesn't it? Well, look, we're sent to these spaces, and it's the simple message of this whole series that we're looking at. We've been just hanging out in Acts, and we are a bit more. You know that Acts is Luke part 2. So if we look at the end of Luke, it's just coming up on the screen. Thank you, Jonathan. In Luke 24, so like the end of Luke's part 1, Dr. Luke, he says, you know, then Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He, Jesus, told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. I know you'd like me to have a better plan, disciples. I know you think there ought to be a better way of doing it. I know you'd like to wait around a few centuries until the social media, because that would make it all good. But you're my plan. To be witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. And Acts, the book of Acts, the story of the first followers, the first women, the first men who are following Jesus and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Acts is all about it. They, you know, they have the cross, the resurrection, 40 days of appearances in lots of different ways, you know, really demonstrating not an apparition, not a ghost, eating, touching, speaking to people, being recognizable, bodily resurrection, 40 days of interactions with Jesus. Then Jesus ascends into heaven. That's the final act of the cross, the resurrection, and the whole of the Easter story, because the ascension is demonstrating his divinity, demonstrating he is God. He has gone back to be in heaven. They've seen it. They tell other people about it. And then 10 days later, as we know, Pentecost, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the fulfillment of what Luke has just been talking about. And they preach about Jesus and they see 3,000 being saved. And then last week, we were looking at two of the followers, two of the early followers who were then living out this being sentness. They were living it out, Acts chapter 3, and it was there. I'm not reading everything today. I'm just going to reference some things. Lots of you read it last week. But in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, there's this incident that happens, ironically, at the gate called Beautiful, the gate into the temple called Beautiful, where there is someone who's not allowed to go through that gate. There's someone, because of his physical lameness, has to spend all his days watching beautiful people, hi Cheltenham, going into the beautiful place from which he's excluded. And Peter and John go, and you know the story, don't they? And they, you know, he says, can I have some money? He looks expectantly at them, and they say, I haven't got money, but what I have got, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And then, as so often, physicality in stories in the Bible reflect the inner spiritual. We've done it this morning. Physical stuff on the outside tells you what's going on the inside. What happens to the lame man? He goes in. There's the picture. Jesus has spent the majority of his time with those excluded in the culture of the day. Your physical problem was thought to reflect the sin inside your life. So he goes to the excluded one. The excluded one, who was lame, kept outside, is now in. And he's jumping around and he's leaping. And it's all in the name of Jesus Christ. I said last week when I was preaching in the evening, if you're here today and you feel just like this, you feel just like, you know, you're on the edge and all the beautiful people are going into the beautiful places and have the beautiful lives and you're excluded, then you just need to please, I pray in the name of Jesus, literally, that you would hear me tell you that Jesus spent the vast majority of his ministry engaging and embracing and capturing people just like you. And when he sent his followers, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, the first kind of people they went to were not the beautiful people. They were the people just like you. And in your networks, in your households, in your workplace, at school, at college, where do you know people who the truth is, you know, just you'd scrape the surface very quickly and you would find someone who does not feel beautiful or feels excluded from the beautiful spaces. Do you know anyone who on Instagram or social media or FaceTube or whatever it is has got a beautiful life? You know, who posts their ugly pictures? Clearly apart from me. We post the beautiful pictures of the beautiful places that reflect the beautiful life that we think we... But loads of us, loads of the people you know, the people you're going to see tomorrow, are sitting on the edge of that gate called beautiful. They're not inside it. They're, and forgive me for those in the room who do have mobility issues. I apologize when I say this. It's always something you have to be aware of, but I hope... Just the heart behind it, it's kind of like they're also unable to walk properly. They're walking in their hearts, in their mind. And again, maybe you're here right now. And you just need to let the power of this story, in the name of Jesus, the one kept out from the beautiful place, at the beautiful gate, the one who was out is in. You know, the parable of the lost son, or better named, the forgiving father. It's all about who's in and who's out. Isn't it? The whole story is about the one who is in goes out, then comes back in. Second son, or elder son, was in, but he stands on the outside looking in. Lots of ins and outs in Scripture. And it's really simple. Here's the summary. And I, again, forgive me if you were here last night when we were doing those, last week in the evening doing the baptisms. Thanks, Jonathan. Just the summary slide. A needy person meets two ordinary followers with the faith to pray for the apparently extraordinary, although, of course, it's completely ordinary in the kingdom of heaven. And in the name of Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit, God transforms everything. The physical transformation reflects the inner emotional, relational, spiritual transformation. Do you know anyone in need? Because I can see some really ordinary people, perfectly equipped in the name of Jesus and with the power of the Holy Spirit to pray for transformation and to see it happen. Story is told of Alexander the Great, warrior king who couldn't sleep one night, goes around his camp and meets a soldier who's kind of like half asleep. Alexander the Great and goes to him and says, "Wake up. What is your name?" "Alexander." Punishment for being asleep on duty, usually death. Alexander the Great says, "What is your name, soldier?" "Alexander." Third time, "Soldier, what is your name?"
"Alexander."
Alexander the Great is reputed to have said, "Either change your conduct or change your name." We go in the name, the most powerful name. As the song goes that some of us know, are we going to believe what we have sung this morning? Really blessedly, I can't be with you at work tomorrow. Even more blessedly, looking at some of you, I can't even go to your homes. No. You are perfectly, perfectly shaped and equipped to be you. And you are the ones that God is sending as very ordinary people, but to do extraordinary things if you will believe in the power of the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit in you. That's the whole simple message of this Sent series. When we read on into Acts 3, here's just a summary again. As I say today, I haven't got time to just go through it, such as Tim again said last Sunday morning. Such a powerful, this incident. Notice the number of times in Acts that the word astonished and amazed gets used. Notice the number of times in Scripture where whole crowds are stirred up by the events that happen. And there's a whole crowd that gets stirred up. All the people were astonished and came running to them. All the people inside seeing the guy doing that. A bit later on, verse 12 of chapter 3, Peter starts speaking. This crowd is here. He starts speaking. Another 2,000 are going to give their lives to the Lord. Amazing. We're up to 5,000, it says now, already after Pentecost. And into chapter 4, the priests and the captains, verse 1, the priests and the captain of the temple guard, the Sadducees, came up to Peter and John while they were still speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. This event, this power, changes everything. Go on to our next slide. Thank you. The summary here. They ask the question. It's just there, isn't it? By what power or name did you do this? And they ask particularly because they can see, as the Bible says, that they were unschooled and ordinary. They were unschooled and ordinary people. By what name? By what power? They want to know. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, says to them, "It's the name of Jesus." And again, Tim last week was just in Scripture, in the Bible, your name encapsulates, incorporates everything about who you are, but also your identity in the sense of with God and the power that is in you. Your name expresses the fullness, Jesus' name expresses the fullness. Verse 11 in chapter 4, Peter references back to Deuteronomy and to the prophecies. He says, verse 11, sorry, he is, Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone, the foundation. There's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Verse 12, salvation is found in no one else. This is the power as the sent ones. What do they receive that I suspect we need as well if we're going to fulfill this amazing mission, co-mission as sent ones? Well, here you go. Here's the summary. I mean, the first is they obviously receive courage, don't they? And that's what the leaders notice. They're unschooled, they're ordinary, but they have courage. Do you need that sense of, do you need courage for your co-mission? That's something to pray for, isn't it? And it's courage in the name of Jesus. It's not in your own strength. It's not in your own ability. It's not in your own purity. It's not in your own holiness. It's courage in the name of Jesus. So just again, think about those spaces, not probably being asleep, but think of those places and spaces where you connect, where God has sent you. Do you want to pray even right now this second for the courage? The second thing they obviously receive is gifts, isn't it? And here's some categorization of the gifts that the Holy Spirit brings, which I don't want to get tied up on, but they get gifts of knowledge. They're aware of what's going on. They get prophetic gifting. They can know what God wants to say into the situation. Do you make that prayer? You know, if you're going to be, in a workplace tomorrow, or you're going to be seeing someone tomorrow, are you praying that God would give you divine knowledge, that you would know some things that you could say that would unlock those conversations? Are you going to have the courage to say, I was thinking about you yesterday, actually, at church, and I as I was praying for you, and I was just asking, I wonder how God sees you. I just felt myself, the image that came into my mind, I just wonder, or the word that came into my, this might sound a bit weird, but the word that came into my, you know, we've talked about the fact that I pray a bit, and I was just praying for you, and just the word that came into my mind was. They obviously, Peter and John and the early followers of Jesus, they get gifts that which are to do with speech, don't they? They're able to preach and to teach and to share. Now, it's really important to notice, and lots of us in the room have heard this before, the difference between a witness and an evangelist. So an evangelist having that particular calling to actually be somebody who does have a gift to put words into quite a formed kind of way of sharing. But all of us are called to be witnesses. And you know, and again, you've heard, I'm sure, so many times, but just bears repeating, you're an expert in your own story. So I know lots of you work in workplace, so different from when I was in the workplace 20 years ago, you know, before the Lord, still makes me cross, took me out of the real world and put me into this. I know in the real world, lots of you are in spaces where you have to be so careful about what you say. I get that. I do appreciate that. But I think I'm right in still saying that you are able, when, if asked in the appropriate ways, to share your own story. Because that's true for you. So as long as you're not trying to impose it on somebody else. So I was at church yesterday and I felt rubbish, and it was made even worse by the guy who was preaching. But you know what? I actually did pray at one point that God would help me with the anxiety I've been feeling about that meeting on Thursday, because I'm just not sure what's going on. And I just realized I've had a real mistrust of our, you know, the bosses, the leaders, the board. And actually, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, that's not something I want to be. I don't want to be influenced and shaped by. So I was praying about it. And you know what? Yesterday when I was praying about it, I really felt God. See, I think I'm right. And people couldn't say to you, you're wrong. That's untrue. That didn't happen. And I don't think easily people would be able to say, I'm offended by what you have just said. So, you know, you'll face common challenges with your co-workers at home, et cetera, et cetera. You'll face things which are part of being human. And the thing that God is inviting you to do in the name of Jesus, in the power of Jesus, is to show how you respond to those same things, but with God, in the name of Jesus. In our family, we have a number of people, whenever we say, well, we're going to pray about that, they say basically, well, that's fine if it works for you. They don't mean that in a disrespectful way. And then we always just have to say, well, let's see what happens. And why doesn't God answer? I mean, it's so obvious how he should answer the prayer. But you see, I don't know whether you maybe think if you're a lead pastor and leader of a church, then, you know, sharing with your family and doing this is easier. It's not. It's actually kind of, well, I think it's harder. It's just the same. And they obviously had the power of healing, didn't they? They obviously were physically able to heal. And we were sharing from the baptisms, weren't we? A testimony of someone in the name of Jesus be healed. The person I know who led a whole number, Healing on the Streets. I don't know if you're familiar with that thing. It was a whole movement, Healing on the Streets. Incredible healing ministry. And when he teaches people how to pray for healing, he just says, be healed in the name of Jesus. As opposed to me, who kind of covers a few bases. Lord, if it's your will, it might not be your will. It might be a Tuesday. You might be, you know, this And those are gifts, aren't they? There's a gift of encouragement. There's so many gifts. And obviously that's what happened when these ordinary people believed God and said, yes, I need to know what's going on in the situation. I want to know prophetically. You know, emotional intelligence that a lot of us will talk about in leadership and workspaces and teamworking, putting yourself in the other person's shoes. That's a basic component of being alive and working and living today, isn't it? The ability to have the emotional intelligence. Well, as Christians, we're asking God to help us do that. What does this person, what's their life look like? Lord, if it helps them, could I have some insight in what their life has looked like? And just speak into that. And then, of course, the last one they have is expectancy. That actually there is power in God's name. Right at the end of chapter 4, coming towards the end of what I wanted to share this morning, then I just really want us to pray. Coming into the end of chapter 4, they get released. Peter and John get released from the religious leaders, and you'll maybe know quite a number of us. They go back to their own people, verse 23 of chapter 4. And there's a kind of little kind of formula here that we can really notice and follow, can't we? The first thing is that they raise their voices together in prayer. So prayer starts everything. Prayer leads everything. It's why as a church family, we're really pressing down on thy kingdom come again. Praying intentionally for 5 people. Praying intentionally by name. Every day for at least 10 days for 5 people who the Lord puts on your heart. They pray. Then when they speak to God in their prayer, they're trusting in God's plan. So that's they're trusting in God's plan. And they say, God, they call out to God in verse 28. They say that Herod, Pilate, the leaders, they've all just been doing what your power and will decided beforehand. And then they pray for God's power. Now, Lord, verse 29-30. Now, Lord, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. So, God, help me tomorrow or today to speak as a sent one. Stretch out your hand to heal, and perform miraculous signs and wonders. And the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in the word of God boldly. So here's the little summary again. Courage. Do you need courage for where you're being sent? To speak to the Lord now about those places. The Lord Jesus came and walked and died on a cross in agony and rose again so that all of those people around us, the 99, can know that God sees them, that he loves them, that he died on the cross for them, that he is the answer to their cries and their needs. Just let those faces come into your mind now, who you're going to see. How can you be the sent one? You just want to pray then about that second bit. What gifts do you feel you'll need? God, here I am, God. I'm hearing this call again to live as your sent ones. Thank you for those, by the way, who did this so that I'm here. But here are the gifts that I think I might need, God. Here's the bits of me where I just don't know how it would work. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, I need insights. I need wisdom. I would welcome you now giving me some prophetic insight into the situations, the lives that I'm connected with. And Holy Spirit, God, I need your help with what I might do and what I might say. When the moment comes, I need help with the words. And in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, across this room, would you release your gifts? If there are more here to be called to have the gift of healing, and all the other beautiful gifts that you give. Holy Spirit, come. And Holy Spirit, would you give us expectancy? God, where the world would squeeze away hope, where circumstances would confuse, where other voices would seek to take away from us, to steal from us the life that you give, would we know the truth that all things happen in your knowledge, in your perfect plan, and that there is a story, there is a center line of history that it's working its way towards you coming again, Jesus. And would we have expectancy that you are going to do even greater things, even more, and that you can use us, that you want to invite us to share with you in your mission.